ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you would take your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. We'll begin reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Gospel of John was penned by the aged apostle in about 85 A.D. It was the last of the four Gospels to be written, and by the time this book would be circulated among the Christian community, the other Gospels would have been household words. People all over the world already had the accounts of the life of Christ as recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first three Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. The word synoptic means to see together. This means that the first three Gospels contain many of the same stories and teachings, but told from a different angle, yet each fully inspired by the Lord. John's Gospel is different. In the words of this wonderful book, we see a side of Christ that the other Gospel writers do not seem to touch on. John was part of that blessed inner circle, that handful of disciples that was with Christ during some of His most intimate moments. In this Gospel, John gives us 21 blessed chapters, chapters that, as each unfold, presents a new facet of His divine character. In this opening chapter, John paints a portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word of God, and in that image is what we want to focus on this morning. Verses 1 through 3 that we just read is Jesus, and it presents Him as the pre-existent Word. Verse 1, we'll learn that He is the constant Word. According to this verse, Jesus has simply always existed. Jesus did not come into being in Bethlehem, but He had been here throughout all the endless ages of eternity's past. The word was is a Greek word that's actually in the imperfect tense, which simply tells us it's something that has been in a continuous nature. Was in verse 1 simply means always has been. Contrast that with was in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The word used concerning John the Baptist means simply to become. John became, but Jesus always has been. Thank God He is the constant, unchanging Word of God. And that is why the Christian can always depend on Christ. He will never fail us, nor leave us, nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Verse 1 also tells us that Jesus is the communing Word. The phrase says that Jesus was with God. That is, He was present in the heavenlies in the presence of God, yet He stood as a distinct person. When this phrase is taken alongside the other two in this verse, the reality of the Trinity is on full display. This verse teaches us that Jesus is God, yet He is still a unique being. He is still a distinct person. Jesus Christ wasn't an afterthought with God. He wasn't something conjured up when things got out of control. Jesus was there when God moved to make man in His image in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Jesus was there in heaven when the plan to redeem the world was formulated. And since before time began, Jesus was with the Father in heaven. Also notice in verse 1 that Jesus is the controversial Word. The Bible says the Word was God. When Jesus came preaching repentance, men thought he was strange. When he began to heal and perform miracles, men thought he was a prophet sent by God. When he spoke the Word of God with power, men thought he was amazing. However, when Jesus claimed equality with God, men thought he was completely crazy. In John 19 and verse 7, he stopped being a blessing and became a controversy when he claimed to be God. John chapter 14 and verse 9 says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Men still grapple with these truths. They are willing to accept the humble Christ, the teaching Christ, the meek Christ, the dead Christ, the serving Christ. However, they will not give acknowledgement to the God-man Jesus Christ. He is still 100% God and 100% man, all wrapped up in one. Jesus Christ is still the God-man. It is best summed up by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Where Paul says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made him himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In these amazing verses, the apostle sets forth in clear, concise language the fact that Jesus existed before Bethlehem, that he willingly humbled himself and came to this world in the condition of a servant. The word form in those verses in Philippians chapter 2 equals condition, means condition. Jesus is God in human flesh. Verse 3 also denotes that he is the creative Word. The Bible says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This verse tells us that Jesus was the energy behind the creation of the universe. He spoke and it was. He stood on the edge of nothing and spoke all of this into existence. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Now, I'm grateful that this God is my God. And I'm grateful that this Savior is my Savior. And I'm glad that I can know Him. And I'm glad that I can know that He has pardoned me for my sin. And that salvation is totally in His control. The worries and the pressures of this life begin to grow amazingly dim when confronted with the power and might of an all-powerful Savior. Now, these four truths, taken as one, give us the clear teaching that Jesus is the pre-existent Word of God. He has always been and He always will be. And thank God there'll never be a day throughout eternity that Jesus will not exist. He will always exist. No matter where we wind up or what we have to face as we travel through this world, we can rest assured that the pre-existent One is always with us, always will be, and He always is there for us. He is the pre-existent Word of the living God. Now notice with me in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the personalized Word. The personalized Word. This verse is one of the clearest in all the Bible regarding the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Incarnation being a 50-cent word that simply means the bodily manifestation of a supernatural being. Now, we must notice the manner of His incarnation. The verse tells us the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. The matter of His incarnation is a mystery. How could God stoop down to become a man? The answer to this question lies in the mind of God and God alone. All we know is that God chose a virgin named Mary and caused her to miraculously conceive and bring forth a baby. I do know that on that night that when Jesus was born, God had come to earth. Somehow the Word became flesh. While Jesus Himself had existed from all eternity's past, He took upon Himself a robe of flesh there in Bethlehem. The Creator was born to the creature. God placed His life in the hands of mortals. What a scene that must have been. The verse says that God dwelled among us. That word is rich in meaning. It literally means that Jesus pitched His tent here among mortals. He lived among us, He worked among us, He prayed among us, He suffered among us, and died among us. God walked upon the earth and was totally unrecognized by many who came into close contact with Him. What a tragedy that men came in contact with the Savior and still failed to recognize the Savior of the world. I said the mystery of His incarnation was totally that, a mystery. The Word was made flesh. This word carries the meaning to appear in history, to step onto the stage. There in Bethlehem, God stepped out of eternity onto the stage of human history. He became a tangible proof of the existence of God and of God's willingness to save mankind. When He was here on this earth, through the record left to you and me, we can see that Jesus came to this world to reveal God to man. He did this through the medium of His flesh. Now notice also the Bible says that we beheld His glory in verse 14. There's a sense of majesty of His incarnation. John actually saw the glory of Jesus in a very real sense. In Matthew 17, John, along with James and Peter, accompanied Jesus upon a mountainside, and there Jesus allowed the veil of His flesh to be pulled aside. He revealed the glory that was concealed beneath. Jesus concealed His heavenly fame within an earthly frame. However, His greatest glory was revealed the day He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross and He died for sinners. On Calvary, the glory of God was in sharp focus. After all, that was the reason Jesus left the halls of heaven and came to live among men. He took upon Himself a robe of flesh so that He might be able to die for mankind. That is what He did for each and every one of us. He died for us. Now, verse 18, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Jesus is the proclaiming Word. Not only is Jesus the preexistent Word, He has always existed, but He is the proclaiming Word. According to this verse, Jesus came to reveal God to man. The word declare means to unfold. Everything the Lord did was simply an effort to unfold more of the revelation of God to man. Men needed to see God not just as a lawgiver, but see God as a lover. Not only as a judge, but as a justifier. Not some stern, hateful being, but as a saving, caring, loving God. And Jesus did just this by His life. Jesus came to put God on full display before mankind, and He did it in two primary ways. He came to proclaim light. Verses 4 through 9 discusses Jesus as being the light of the world. He came to a world in spiritual darkness. He opened the curtains of grace, revealing the truth of God to man wandering in darkness. And Jesus came to illuminate the pathway of mankind toward God. This light will accomplish one of two things. It will either cause men to repent of their sins and run to the opened arms of the Lord, or it will cause them to reject the light and continue on in their course of darkness. One will lead to salvation, the other will lead to damnation. Thank God for the light that He's given to fallen man. Now, we don't have to be bound by the stringent rules of law, but we're free to respond to the lovely pleadings of grace granted by God. Verses 10 through 13, He proclaims life. Jesus Christ came to proclaim life. Jesus came to His people who had His Word and were living in His promised land. He came to tell them that there was a way to come to the Father and to experience eternal life. In what may be the saddest verse in all of the Bible, they refused this call from the sinner's friend to come to Him. However, verses 12 and 13 make it clear that anyone who will respond positively to the light and will come to Jesus and receive Him in their heart and life will experience a new birth and will enter into eternal life. John makes it clear in verse 13 that this life comes not by our natural birth, not by blood, not by our own good works, that is, not by the will of the flesh, not the work of another, that is, the will of man, but only through the will of God. Salvation is totally, from the start to finish, an operation of God and God only. There is only one entrance into life, and that is through the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the life. He is the only way to be saved. Imagine with me the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth to die for sinful man. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. I dare say that's the most saddest verse in all the Bible. The phrase, He was in the world, is actually in Greek in the neuter gender, which means He was in the world He had already made. He was in the world He had already made in creation. And yet this world, who was made by Him, knew Him not. Yes, Jesus came to proclaim life to a world that rejected Him, to a world that would turn around and beat Him into the form that He would not even be, have the vision of a man. He would be beaten. He would be spat upon. He came to completely expound God to humanity, robed in flesh. And He stripped Himself of the insignia of majesty and placed upon Himself a robe of flesh, yet sinless completely. Our Lord did that for us. He is the Word of God. And being the Word, the Logos of God, He would be exactly what the Lord God Himself would desire to inform man about His love. Jesus would be the writing on the page of their heart. He would be the Logos. He would be the one who would completely expound the personage of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. Not only would Jesus convey the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, Jesus would be the price. He would lay down His life as the price of our redemption. God the Father did not send empty words to earth. He sent the pre-existent Word, God the Son. And He voluntarily laid down His life on the cross, shedding His precious blood so that every vile, wretched, no good, low down sinner who deserved nothing but death could come by way of the cross and could be cleansed in that precious, spotless, sinless blood and be saved eternally. That, my friend, is the love of the Father. And it was completely and exponentially explained, expounded, given, and proclaimed by God the Son. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. I thank the Lord that He came and died on the cross so that I would have an opportunity to be saved. If you've never met Jesus Christ for the free pardon of sin, now is your time. Jesus stands ready to reveal the Father to you. He waits for you to respond to His light so He can give you of His life. Will you do what you need to do this morning to come to Christ? Will you acknowledge your sinfulness, your sinful ways? You turn to Jesus. Would you consider Christ this morning? I trust you'll come by way of the cross. There's only one way into heaven, and that's through the door. And Jesus Christ is the door. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.